So I was in a hotel room over the weekend out in the Detroit area, not thinking about the auto industry per se, but as I was flipping around on the channels in my hotel room, I go to C-SPAN because I'm such a wonk. And on Book TV, that C-SPAN channel, it was an all John Hope Franklin weekend. Stories of his interviews, his book signings. It was all over the television. And here's just one example.
This young white professor by the name of Theodore Currier was such a remarkable lecturer and he exuded excitement in a way that I did not know history could be. And, well, I decided that I'd better get a little more of him. And so I, in my second year in college, registered for an elective in history, and I could almost say the rest is history, but I won't say that.
But the rest is history. In many ways, John Hope Franklin is history. He was a historian. He was a civil rights leader. His book, From Slavery to Freedom, A History of African Americans, has sold more than 3 million copies. He died at the age of 94 last week. But to talk about his legacy, we could really fill an entire program. But we have this morning Patrick Henry Bass, Takeaway contributor and senior literary editor at Essence Magazine, here in the studio to talk about the loss, but really the legacy of such an important, influential figure. And, you know, in the pictures on Book TV over the weekend, you just saw these mobbed crowds of people talking to him both about his life, about his view of history. And there you hear how he got into history. It was a white professor that caused him to think passionately about history. He was going to be a lawyer.
Right. Just like his father. It's good to be here with you, John. His father was a lawyer. His mother was an educator. This is a huge loss, and we're still feeling it in the African-American community, especially among the African-American black press. So you're going to start to see a lot of coverage of John Hope Franklin's life and his legacy since many of those publications publish on Thursday. He was the last of the great icons of the civil rights movement, and even further back than From Slavery to Freedom, we can't imagine African-American history without it, or American history without it. We have to remember 1947, when the book was first published, we had Negro History Week. Thank God for Carter G. Woodson for giving us Negro History Week. And so what From Slavery to Freedom was able to do was to fill in the blanks on African-American history and also American history. The black press during its heyday, you know, the last great moment during the 19th century was the North Star, Frederick Douglass's paper, but there was a blackout between the Civil War and Reconstruction, and From Slavery to Freedom not only filled the gaps and filled the blanks and shed light on that very dark moment in our history, but also he took us back to 1617 and even further back.
Patrick, what was it about John Hope Franklin that allowed him to speak about the civil rights struggle, both in terms of the passion and the political outrage that came from the insults to the African-American community as a legacy of slavery and segregation and the Jim Crow laws, but he also was able to speak passionately and joyfully about the civil rights movement being a working out of the Constitution before his very eyes as a historian. He had both the joy and the outrage.
But there's no accident that his middle name was Hope. You know, he blended a great deal of idealism with realism as a historian. So he always believed in African-American ingenuity and creativity and intelligence.
And here is, in his own words, him talking about how Americans really weren't as passionate about getting into their history as he was.
I think Americans have a way of shuffling off the things that seem to be unpleasant, and they therefore don't take a direct look at the serious questions like civil rights.
And when he speaks about that, he's talking not simply about, you know, what maybe Eric Holder was talking about when he described the lack of courage in Americans dealing with civil rights. He's also talking about, you know, what happened to him personally. As the president of the history department at Brooklyn College, he lived exactly what that is all about.
Not only that, John, remember when he got the Presidential Medal of Freedom, that day someone mistook him for a driver, you know, like someone gave him the keys to their car after he went to the White House to get this, you know, amazing award from President Clinton for the highest civilian honor in the land. Someone also asked him to serve them that same evening.
You know, he has a great eye for detail, and he described another experience of racism in his 80s.
One of the last times I was in Oklahoma after I was in my 80s, I was ordered by a white man in the lobby of a hotel to take his bags up to his room Why was I there if I was not there to wait on him and to serve him?
Now, that's John Hope Franklin speaking in 2005. A real eye for detail of both racism and the broad themes of American
right.
history.
I encourage everyone to look at From Slavery to Freedom. It's now in its eighth edition from Knopf. It's the quintessential book of American history in terms of the African-American perspective.
Knopf asked him to write it, right?
That's exactly right. It's Alfred A. Knopf asked him to write it. It's painstakingly, incredibly well done, especially about, again, Reconstruction. The violence. A lot of people romanticize the South. You know, it wasn't like Showboat, but the darker aspects of our history, especially the violence and cruelty, has sort of been abated. And he gave that a new life through an incredible prism. If anybody wants to check him out, the National Visionary Leadership Directory, which is an organization that Camille Cosme and Rene Poussaint started, are launching a video of John Hope Franklin today on YouTube. You should check it out.
Oh, that's great. Well, we will leave you with John Hope Franklin talking about what he loved to do when he would take a break from his writing.
I take breaks. I go out to the greenhouse and I work for, let's say, an hour, maybe two hours. Then I take a break, I get up, walk around, people have coffee breaks, and I have orchid breaks. I get up, I think about my orchids, and I go out there and stir around in the greenhouse for maybe 15 minutes or so, and then I come back and start working again.
His life was about the lack of peace in American race relations, but there he is, an image of him dealing with his orchids. John Hope Franklin, who died last week at age 94. Patrick Henry Bass, thanks so much for being a part of that segment. Takeaway contributor, senior literary editor at Essence Magazine. Thank you, Patrick.
For having me.
Mark Garrison has a few headlines now.
Sure, we'll get a quick update from Fargo, North Dakota.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.